push and pull concepts. It is important to review the various ways that push and pull can be used in supply chains to help avoid confusion in this area. From a supply chain strategy perspective, push systems involve central planning determining the needs of the supply chain network based on forecast data. The forecast may be based on historical demand from customers and/or orders from supply chain partners, such as distribution centers. Issues include the following. Basing forecasts on orders from immediate downstream customers can result in much higher variability than if demand from ultimate customers is used. Such variability, the bullwhip effect, results in greater variances in production batches, excess inventory, and either high safety stocks or high risks of stockouts. Higher risk of obsolescence as the system cannot react to demand changes quickly. Poor customer service levels unless demand is very stable. In its most extreme form, a pure pull-based supply chain strategy would involve holding no inventory and only responding to specific orders. Such systems require fast information flow, usually directly from the point of sale to the manufacturer. The demand information might be transferred daily, but the orders would still be placed periodically. The daily demand data enable the manufacturer to continuously adjust quantities and mixes, which can shorten lead times and decrease variability and the inventory that would be needed to mitigate the variability. Issues with this method include the following. Demand variability and supply disruptions create high risks of stockouts or backorders of unacceptable duration. Lead times needed for components may be too long to enable a competitive order promise date. Due to trade-offs between pure push or pure pull systems, a hybrid of push-pull systems is a common solution. These systems enable earlier supply chain stages to operate in a push manner and later stages to be demand pull. The idea is to enable both efficiency and responsiveness. Make and assemble to order systems push to a certain point, and then switch to pull for final differentiation. Earlier stages of make-to-stock goods can start out undifferentiated. Raw materials or semi-finished goods able to be used in many products and become more and more differentiated at various stages. Less differentiated materials can aggregate demand from the multiple sources and reduce variability using a push strategy. Pull can take over when products become more differentiated and demand variability increases. The point where push moves to pull is an important inventory decoupling point. But additional decoupling points are created wherever inventory is held. Replenishment of inventory to various supply chain parties can also have a push or pull element. Centralized versus decentralized systems will use push and pull in different ways. Centralized systems may be used for risk pooling. These subjects are addressed next. Push or pull in replenishment. In addition to an overall supply chain context, for example, what to make and when to make it, push and pull can be applied at the item level to replenishment, who orders and when and how much to order. Pure push replenishment involves central supply determining how much and or when to send inventory to each party. Push replenishment can ensure that supply is spread out fairly among the various parties, but requires partners who are willing to participate in such a system, for example, subsidiaries. Pure pull replenishment involves each supply chain party determining how much to order and or when to order independently. And some form of this is often necessary given independent parties. It can create shortages in one area, for example, if other participants are creating hedge inventories due to back orders in the past. However, it also enables use of market-based pricing to ration goods out to customers who want the inventory the most. Most often, replenishment has elements of both push and pull. Systems that send inventory out on a set schedule enable all orders for a particular store or region to be aggregated for delivery. So this is a form of push. However, these systems usually allow specific supply chain partners to determine quantities themselves, which is pull replenishment. Conversely, systems that fix the order quantity, but allow the order point to vary enable shipments of a minimum order quantity and/or an economic order quantity, which involves a different form of push to some degree. However, because the party ordering has the ability to order only when there is sufficient need, it has a pull quality. The type of goods being sold can dictate the choice of method chosen. Since each has trade-offs, grocery stores fix the delivery point because they have multiple items that all need to be replenished at different rates, and a single shipment can consolidate those deliveries. Similarly, products with high shipping costs, such as large or bulky items, for example, furniture, need to share delivery costs with other aggregated regional orders. Conversely, when there are multiple shipping options, for example, package services or transportation costs, is less of a factor for other reasons, such as use of a minimum order quantity, then lead time reduction becomes more important and methods that ship on demand are preferred. The timing of orders is critical since it affects both inventory costs and customer service. If items are ordered too frequently or too soon, average inventory increases and the inventory investment is underperforming. If items are not ordered frequently enough or too late, there will be stockouts that affect customers and sales. Note that the question of when to order applies primarily to items with independent demand. Order timing for items with dependent demand will most likely be addressed by a material requirements planning system. Decoupling. Decoupling and a related term, decoupling inventory, are defined in the ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary as decoupling, creating independence between supply and use of material. The process commonly denotes allocating inventory between operations so that fluctuations in the production rate of the supplying operation do not constrain the production or use rates of the next operation. Decoupling inventory. An amount of inventory maintained between entities in a manufacturing or distribution network to create independence between processes or entities. The objective of decoupling inventory is to disconnect the rate of use from the rate of supply of the item. C. Buffer. Decoupling inventories ensures smooth operations by mitigating dependencies between interconnected processes to safeguard against variations in demand or supply. Exhibit 6-3 illustrates the use of decoupling before and after a manufacturer echelon and possibly as work in process. WIP between three manufacturing operations, P1 through P3, in a make-to-stock environment. WIP only provides decoupling when it is intentionally maintained as a buffer between process stages. Unintentional queues between process stages are not a type of decoupling. Exhibit 6-3. Example of production process and decoupled inventory in a make-to-stock environment. Decoupling points differ by manufacturing environment. Decoupling occurs with raw materials in most types of manufacturing environments. In engineer or make-to-order environments, raw materials may be the only type of decoupling inventory, if any. Decoupling inventory occurs with components or subassemblies in assemble-to-order environments and with finished goods in make-to-stock environments. The purpose in these cases would be to reduce supply lead times or supply lead time uncertainty. Within a manufacturing operation, WIP may or may not be considered a type of decoupling depending on its purpose and how it is managed. If the WIP is accumulated just before a constraint point, bottleneck, to ensure that operations always has sufficient input materials, then this WIP is a type of decoupling. Per the theory of constraints, decoupling is especially needed just before constraint points. In addition, WIP could be held as inventory at other points deemed necessary to guard against a prior operation becoming interrupted for some reason, for example, equipment failure. In that case, the decoupled inventory can be used to keep production in motion. In this case, it is safeguarding variations in supply. Risk pooling. Risk pooling is a strategy for managing inventory among multiple locations enabled by centralized inventory planning and decoupling inventory. It is defined in the ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary as a method often associated with the management of inventory risk. Manufacturers and retailers that experience high variability in demand for their products can pool together common inventory components associated with a broad family of products to buffer the overall burden of having to deploy inventory for each discrete product. In risk pooling, an organization centralizes its inventory. Risk pooling means that demand from multiple sources is aggregated, which reduces variability in demand and improves forecasting. The assumption is that when demand is unexpectedly high in one location, it will rarely be high in the other locations as well. The areas of lower demand tend to balance out the areas of higher demand, which results in overall variability being lower. Centralizing the inventory also helps avoid having the wrong inventory in the wrong place. For example, a manufacturer supplies multiple products through two warehouses to two markets. It must estimate demand variation for each product in each market and allocate average stock and safety stock accordingly. By pooling inventory in a centralized location, the manufacturer lowers the aggregate degree of variation in demand, which lowers the total amount of safety stock and average inventory. If demand is larger for one market, stock can simply be reallocated to that market. In this sense, centralizing supply also increases customer service. In addition to decreasing inventory and the chances of stockouts, centralizing supply tends to decrease carrying costs, since a centralized system has more economies of scale. However, there are factors that can make centralizing or risk pooling less attractive. If demand is highly correlated among the markets, with similar variation and patterns in demand, the benefits of centralizing will be smaller. If centralizing supply increases customer lead time, and this is not acceptable to enough customers, it could affect market share and long-term revenue. If the net effect of inbound and outbound transportation costs, due to longer transportation distances, is increased costs, the analysis may not favor centralizing. Case study. The hotel group applies the risk pooling strategy to inventory that is not brand specific, for example, basic cleaning supplies and equipment, food and beverage staples. By doing this, it is able to take advantage of volume discounts from suppliers. It puts the inventory at a centrally located warehouse that can serve all of the properties in a country. Each property is informed about changes in lead time so they can order appropriately.